it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 248-539-9797. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97 won the ticket. Thank you, Brendan. We have got this interesting Lions story that just conflicts with what the lead official told the poor reporter who interviewed him after the Sunday night game, who said there was no assistance from Kansas City or New York. When asked to follow up, it was just a discussion amongst the crew itself. He said, that's right. This is it pertains to the overturned Jared Goff touchdown, where an illegal shift was called on Jared Goff. And Dan Campbell explained this morning, no, he was told that a call came in from New York, and Jared Goff said he heard the same thing. So, you know, look, this is one of those deals. It's frustrating because later in the game, there was a buzz down opportunity, right, for the Kelce play. As I understand it, they could have buzzed that one in, and they didn't.
They did not.
Why not? Why not?
No, I didn't see it in time.
Mark in Detroit, you're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
So, my thing is this. You know, I'm not trying to sway anyone's opinions. I did a quick Google search. Kansas City, out of 17 games, will be on primetime for the NFL 7 times this year. No one wants to see a sub-500 Kansas City. I mean, that's bad for the NFL. That's bad for the ratings. That's bad for the narrative and all of that stuff. So I was listening to you guys earlier, and it's like, well, does the NFL have a vested interest in Kansas City doing good? Yeah, they're on TV 7 times. That's for that, right? So I'm just looking at it, and it's really funny because I watched the game, and I just think going further, the rule should be that officials can't get together like that after the play has been a touchdown scored. If you blow the whistle dead while it's happening, if you blow the play dead while it's going on, okay, I get that part. But Jared Goff was already, they celebrated and everything else. So it makes the integrity do look kind of funny. And like the other caller said, as far as with the parlays and all that stuff, you know, if I bet on Jared Goff scoring a touchdown, I'm happy. But now you just took that money from me. It's not about the play. It's the money, the financial aspect. And my last thought is, the reason why that I think that everyone just kind of stood around when Juju got smacked, I think that people know that he's probably an a-hole. And they were probably like, well, he got what was coming for him at this particular point. Even his teammates, if you look at it, they were like, oh, okay, somebody finally got him. Brent, bad decision. But sometimes in football, it is a physical contact, highly emotional. And I understand the discipline part, but we're also human. And if you know that you're fighting referees, and that's no excuse. I'm not trying to give the Lions an excuse. But if you know you're fighting referees all throughout the game and you're getting cheap-shotted, the game's over now. Now it's personal. It was probably personal from the third quarter out with him. He was just waiting for the whistle to blow. And that's all I really had to take on that. But that 7 games, that's really suspect. That is very suspect.
All right. Thank you for the phone call. 248-539-9797. It's frustrating because it just feels like happened to us. Strangely didn't happen to somebody else. I don't know that I get why.
No, I'm telling you, they'll have that built-in excuse ready to go. Yeah. We didn't have the replay to us right away. Otherwise, yes, that play clearly was not a catch.
Ben, you're next on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how we doing, guys? Yeah, of course we got screwed. Follow the money. You know, we're getting a taste. The NFL is going to taste that Eras Tour money, and they're not going to give that up. frankly, we need a guy dating a pop star. You know, that's where it comes down to, really.
Our quarterback is married to a Sports Illustrated model. So there's that.
Well, hey, let's promote that. Let's get it out there. Come on.
It's incumbent upon us to spread the news.
As a player, throw the flag, dude. We're winning any damn way. That's the attitude you got to have. And I like Goff's response there. And look, man, I'm proud of this group. I was with them when they were 0-16, and I'm damn sure going to be with them the rest of this way. You had a caller a few guys back saying, don't run the trick plays, just line up, run the ball. But I'll tell you, as a former player, man, early in the week when you do that install and the coach is explaining the philosophy behind the play, it gets the players' juices going, dude. And all the way down to the trainers, man, people get pumped up. And you run that thing in the game, and it works. There's nothing like it, dude.
Where did you play?
Michigan Tech, many moons ago.
There you go. All right. So it's funny you say that. I've heard this, and I've tried to keep this in mind, that installing trick plays actually really gets people's attention, like the players' attention. They like it. They get excited about it. So I've heard the same thing.
And it is very deflating for a defense to be caught on their heels.
Yeah.
And they're regrouping. They're wondering if another one's coming maybe. So I like it. It's part of our identity now as the Detroit Lions. I'm here for it, man.
Thank you for the phone call.
I got a hot Tigers.
Real quick,
if you guys. Yes. If Austin Meadows hits for league average, I think we're playing the Blue Jays right now. Fast guys that can't hit are a dime a dozen. I think you got to move on. This is a hot take. I really, really like Luke Kuechel from the Twins. I think we got to go out and get him.
Is he available? I haven't even looked.
He'd be a hell of a value. I do not think we can pay Scooble. We went through this with Miguel. The back end of that contract was ugly. We're not New York. We're not L.A. We cannot afford a $300 million pitcher. Thank you for your service, but we got to get some value going.
Okay.
Yeah. Luke Kuechel just finished up his rookie season, so I...
Yeah, you can't.
Good luck with that. Oh, you want a 300 hitter who was in his rookie season? Okay.
Why are the Twins getting rid of him?
a rebuilding team that might have a building block there.
Is moving on from Parker Meadows a particularly hot take?
I don't think it's a hot take, but I do think it's something that is going to be brought up a lot more as this offseason goes on. When you try to find ways to improve the lineup outside of just promoting guys from the minors, if you want to get a major league player, somebody that's got a track record, that's an area that I would look is outfield. Doesn't have to be Parker Meadows. What you can do is have somebody and have them play right field and Kerry Carpenter as your full-time DH. Or they switch off with Carpenter, right, and whoever they get is a DH. But that's why I bring up Kyle Tucker for the last 10 years.
Let's go to Brian next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
You know, I was watching the Lions game. There were a lot of calls that the Chiefs did not get called on. And, majority it is the Chiefs. But there's a lot of teams, too. But I'm not worried about that because the Lions are going to come back. They're going to bounce back this week and beat the Buccaneers. And then the other thing, listening to people crying about gambling, there's a risk when you gamble. You know, you're risking your own money, so... Yeah, the money might have got robbed from you, but, you know, there's no guarantee in gambling. And then for Tigers, I would get rid of Scooble, trade him, because you're not going to pay to keep him, and use that money to get, you know, three or four other players to make the team better next year.
Well, the gambling thing is something that I kind of agree with. It sucks when something overturns your...
Yeah, but that's...
I don't know there's any motivation to screw over gamblers, though.
No.
Let's go to Lane next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Lane.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Okay.
Listen, I'm sort of late to the party, but I was interested to want to know about the Lions' running game against Kansas City. Was the running game stopped or what? And become Monday... Aren't we really relying on the running game more than ever now? I mean, with
Decker.
The running back.
David Montgomery.
Gibbs. Montgomery.
That's right, Montgomery, and we got two, right? What's the other one?
Gibbs.
Okay, now, do you guys think they put on a performance, or did they just stop the running game?
Yeah, I think Kansas City did decent job against the run, they've. There's a lot from that game the Lions need to be better at. And on Monday night, it's funny. I fully expect this to be one of those, oh, that's right, everything's going to be okay games. The Lions have done this so much that my expectation has changed where I don't expect them to let me down. Am I wrong here? I expect them to play a game where I'm like, oh, that's right. They're good. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I expected more out of the offense against Kansas City, for sure. I expected more out of the offense. Mm-hmm. And they left points on the field. From the first drive on, they left points on the field. They ran for, I think it was 94 yards in the first half and 4 yards in the second half. Wasn't for lack of trying. They came out trying to run the ball. They didn't have many possessions, but they did come out trying to run the football, and it didn't work for them. The second drive was a touchdown drive. After that, it was three and out where they started with a run when they were down by 10 points. So, you know, it's just how the game goes. I think they would love to be able to run the ball 40 times a game, but that wasn't the case in the game against Kansas City.
Carson Anderson, 97, won the ticket.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like whenever we do this, when you and I do this, we confess it on the air. When you have a, what am I doing with my life moment?
Okay. What's wrong? What's happening? What's going on?
Last night I started to flip around.
Yeah.
And you know, you settle in on something and then after a while you're like, what am I doing?
100%.
I know.
Yeah.
Can you think of a recent example of when you did that?
I told you last week. It's I was up till like 12:30 doom scrolling, mm-hmm. just doing nothing, just doom scrolling, watching stupid videos on my phone. Yeah, it happens all the time. Yep. You get down a rabbit hole and then you can't get out of it. I've got the TV on. I'm not paying a lick of attention to the TV because I'm looking at my phone.
Yep.
Doing stupid stuff.
Yep. Last night, I'm flipping around. I've got Pistons Cavs on. Mm-hmm. I'm checking out in the AL or NLCS.
Yeah.
And I settled in on Arkansas State, South Alabama.
On the football game?
Yeah.
Was it replay?
No.
Okay.
It was Tuesday night, really Tuesday night Sun Belt. And I'm like, I realized it after probably 45 minutes. And part of it was Butch Jones entertainment because he was blowing a gasket like every other play on the sideline. And given there were a million flags, it was one of the worst football games I've ever watched. But I watched.
But you were committed.
And I watched and I watched until I went.
Oh, I wish people could see that on Twitch or on YouTube. I think they
what
did.
Am I doing? Why am I watching this terrible game? Which Arkansas State came back and won late, but I don't know, dude. I was like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah, that's a moment. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I mean, Kang, that's a moment, right?
Doug misses his kids. It's okay, Doug. It's okay. I mean, you're getting used to this new lifestyle. Yes. Yeah.
I'm replacing void with Sunbelt Tuesday night football. You're not my children, but you'll do. Tuesday night Sunbelt football.
Did you try to FaceTime anybody last night? No?
Yeah.
Did you get rejected? Did you get rejected?
That was a brief conversation. Now that you mention it, it was a very brief conversation.
Yeah, you got rejected a little bit. You lost a face-off with somebody on a FaceTime.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, got to go. It's, so-and-so from the fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
But it was sure nice talking to you, Dan. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon in a ballroom of Malibu. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when. We'll get together then. Yeah.
Who is that? Is that Cat Stevens?
No, but the song's Cats in the Cradle.
Who did it? Do you think he had Sunbelt football in mind when he wrote it?
I don't know why I can't think of who sings the damn song. Ugly Kid Joe did the remake in the late 80s.
Well, anyway, long story short, it was a eye-opening moment.
Harry Chapin, somebody says.
Okay.
They start with Harry Vapin.
Wait, what?
It's just fortunate that I know what he meant, but yeah.
Harry Vapin. Do you think Harry Chapin had Tuesday night Sunbelt football on ESPN2 in mind?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he had in mind.
Well, look. It's a moment for me. Are you Googling it? That's why they made Google. Who sang Cats in the Cradle?
Harry Chapin.
Oh, there you go.
And Ugly Kid Joe.
So tonight, or today, is National Grouch Day.
Here we go.
Yep. Do you have anybody in your life or anybody that in particular that is your favorite grouch?
I mean, I will. I think that the standard is always going to be, from the time I was a kid, was Oscar the Grouch.
Right.
From Sesame Street.
Okay.
I think Oscar the Grouch was my favorite Sesame Street character growing up. More so than Cookie Monster. I mean, they're all great. They're all great in their own way. But Oscar the Grouch was something else, man. Dude was living in a trash can. Somehow was making life his own and yet trying to make everybody else miserable too. He had the big eyebrows, green, which I think, you know, because he's envious. That was probably one of those hidden little things that you don't recognize until you're our age. And I just thought of it. Wow, he was green.
Mine was probably the first ever troll. Ernie from Bert and Ernie was the first ever troll.
Ernie was just getting Bert going?
Yeah, he was trolling Bert the whole time. That's
pushing his button.
He's the original troll, at least in my life timeline.
But generally speaking, I don't like grouches. I don't like surrounding my people with anybody like that. If you're going to be a grouch, I just plays don't want to deal with it.
It can play well when it's not in your sphere.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Parks and Recreation. Who was the grouch in that show?
Didn't really watch
Gang,
the show.
Did you watch Parks and Recreation? I went through a Parks and Recreation. Ron, does anybody know? Somebody's got to know it. He was a great grouch.
Oh, Ron, yeah, I forget his name. I did watch a few episodes. That's a show
Ron
really
Swanson.
Funny. Yeah.
Ron Swanson on Parks and Recreation was a great grouch.
Who played Ron Swanson?
You want to know? Because I Googled it, so I have it right in front of me.
Yeah.
Do you want the initials? That's usually your game.
Okay. I mean,
N-O.
Nick Offerman?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not many N-O's.
No.
But that's still well done. You give me N-O, and I'm going to come up with an actor.
Well, you.
Like, yeah. I don't know the show. I don't watch really. I think I've watched like two episodes of the show.
Well.
But
Nick Offerman's funny, man. That guy's hilarious.
Yeah, he can be.
He was a great grouch on Parks and Recreation. Okay. I burned through like 17 episodes of that in 3 days and haven't gone back.
I think there's a fine line between being a grouch and being a complainer.
Well, there is there's definitely a fine line.
Yeah. The complainer, I don't like the complainer, right?
He just complains about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But grouch, I mean, it's like, okay, this person's always unhappy, but why is he always unhappy? Is he complaining about stuff, or is there something underlying or something deep?
A grouch usually brings up a good point. But Don, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Don.
How you doing?
What's up?
My favorite grouch, Walter from Jeff Dunham.
I don't know who that is.
Is that Jeff Dunham is a ventriloquist. Is it one of his dummies?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I believe you.
Yeah.
Nice,
yeah. He's a pretty good grouch.
Why does it always come up with like Muppets and stuff like that? But I'm thinking like the two old guys in the old Muppets.
Oh, they
show.
Were great. They
Those
were
guys
awesome.
Were amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Those two guys were awesome for sure.
Yeah, that's a great example. I just looked down at YouTube. Somebody named Jeff just posted, it's Ron effing Swanson, Doug. Put some respect on his name. My apologies. Yes. Oh, that's funny. 248-539-9797. Straight ahead.
Is this apparently a quote from Ron Swanson?
What?
Clear alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Okay.
That's funny.
I can see him saying that. All right, straight ahead. Tigers, do they get back in? I'll explain at 11:31. You're on 97.1 The Ticket.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so, I mean, here we go again with Alex Bregman. Is this happening again? Because all the reports are that he's opting out of his contract with the Boston Red Sox.
Well, it can. I mean, if you're the Tigers, how do you want to approach that? If the offer was 6 years and $173 million, I think was the offer, something like that, which was under $30 million a year, $29 million a year, whatever it was, 28 something. Do you want to give him that same offer? And would he be more apt to take it? Because had you offered him 7 years and $210 million or $213 million, would he have taken that last year because it would have been past that $30 million threshold that clearly Scott Boras wanted? And I'm saying that because you're adding the $40 million you got paid by the Red Sox, and now you're just giving him the deal you would have wanted last year. Would you still want to do that? To me, I don't know if it's necessarily a money thing anymore. What it is now for me, my concerns about Bregman, and I was all about Bregman last year, I had a slight reservation because of injured past. He's going to be 32. My concern now is injuries. He only played 114 games with Boston this past year after playing only 145 with Houston the year before. He has missed parts of two other seasons, significant parts of two other seasons, where he only played 42 and 91 games, respectively, in 2020 and 2021. I like Alex Bregman. I think he's a very good player. But that's a major concern. It was my concern with Carlos Correa back a few years ago when he was a free agent, when everybody's looking at Carlos Correa, Javi Baez, and the other shortstops were available, Corey Seager and all that. I really like Correa, but you couldn't count on Correa being healthy. And guess what? He was never healthy with the Twins, and now he's back with Houston. So I don't think if I'm the Tigers, I'm going to give him the six-year, $170-plus million offer. Would I make him a short-term offer like Boston did? I don't think he's going to take that. So, I mean, you got to think about what your numbers really would be. What's realistic for the Tigers to offer him at 32 and coming off another injured season?
I see this more as a Bregman is added to the pool of hitters, which adds to the supply, which means if not Bregman, somebody else, mm-hmm. right? And you're... I swear to God, if you find an archive of our show from 2017, we might be talking about Kyle Tucker. And we can do it again because he is a free agent this year. And so is Schwarber and Bichette and Pete Alonso. And I do wonder a little bit, and I'm intrigued to hear Tiger fans on this. Is this a blank that guy situation? Because last year, Detroit, for a long time, had the only offer on the table, remember? And he waited and waited and waited and waited and waited till he could get more offers. And then he ended up getting one from the Cubs and one from the Red Sox. And he didn't say, I couldn't find an actual quote that said he chose Boston over Detroit because he had a better chance to win. But he did say he chose Boston because I feel like I have a great opportunity to win here. Quote, that was a quote. And mm-hmm. he went on to say, obviously playing at Fenway is awesome. Playing for a city that not only loves winning but expects to win. I like playing in those pressure-packed environments, and I feel like I got that here in Boston. I think he's doing the punch button. This is my new team. I love you. I love your town. I love your stadium. I love this organization. I don't think that's a slight to Detroit, okay? But I just wonder, do fans feel like, yeah, blank you, that ship sailed?
I think some will, for sure. And I just think if you, again, look at the player, what you would be getting, and can you justify paying $30 million a year for a guy who hasn't driven in 100 runs since 2019? For a guy who hasn't hit over 30 home runs in a season since 2019? You know, for a guy who hasn't hit above 275 since 2019. His best days are probably behind him. And he's playing in Boston.
Yeah.
Where you should be able to just pepper the ball off the wall and have a mess load of doubles. He had 28 doubles and 18 homers last year. His OPS was 821. It was nice. But you know what he did in September? Nothing. He hit like 219 for the month of September. His OPS, I think, was in the 600 range in September. We saw that enough here with the players we had. I'd probably move away from Bregman. There are, as you mentioned, there are other players, very productive players, that you might have to find creative ways to see how they fit into the lineup if you really want to add that bat. I mean, Pete Alonso, you're having a hard discussion with Spencer Torkelson about what's going to happen because he's a first baseman DH type. I mean, he certainly can play a ton of DH. But that's a guy who brings a ton of power. Kyle Schwarber was a fantastic power this past season with 56 home runs and 132 driven in, but also struck out 197 times, which is what he did last year. And before that was 215 and 200. So it's another high strikeout guy, but high reward clearly with the 56 home runs that he hit. Some of that might be the ballpark playing out there in Philadelphia, but I mean, there are guys who put up some pretty good numbers that you can look at. And, of course, the aforementioned Kyle Tucker, who I think is clearly a $30 million player. I don't know if Bregman is anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, Bregman, we hung another year on him did this before. And I didn't love the six-year length of contract. And it was, to me, it was a question of how many bad years are there going to be on the end of the contract.
Yeah.
Would he have helped them this year? Of course. Of course he would have helped. And will he help them next year? I don't see the punch button ready-made third base prospect, right? I mean, isn't that the one position that we're like,
Well, I think they envisioned Colt Keith being that guy. And the reason that he wasn't there to start the year is because he did have arm issues and his arm wasn't completely healed and throwing the ball. When eventually they made the switch and let him play over at third base.
Yeah.
It was because they said that the arm issues had cleared up and now he can throw the ball again. And it was a mixed bag, a work in progress with him over at third base. But they do have, is that a position where they look at Max Anderson, that he gets a chance to be brought up and play over there? You know, are they totally done with Chase Young? I mean, they could trade somebody, you know, one or both of those guys. Who knows what they end up doing this offseason? Scott Harris has a ton of options if he wants to promote or if he wants to trade, which players he can trade, which players he wants to promote. That's for sure. And then if you just want to give the job to Colt Keith over at third base, and then it's an opportunity at second base for McGonigal or Max Anderson, okay.
The other thing about this is a Boris client.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I see a Boris client, and we went through this song and dance last year, I think whatever offer Detroit makes, he's going to go to the bigger market teams and say, top this. Getting involved with a Boris client, it's a little different with Scooble because he's already here. But I only feel like Boris will let and Bregman will sign with Detroit if it's a massive overpay. And I, you know, I, that's a hard thing for me to escape. And that, does it make sense? I mean, I don't think there's a chance in hell Scoobles signing here.
Yeah, maybe not.
And so now it's like, here's this guy who's represented by Boris that could help Detroit, but given the way the agent operates, and I'm not like, I get that he's doing his job, okay?
Yeah.
But it feels like I'm only going to Detroit if I rook you guys, if I completely work you over.
Well, and I think that the deal that they had reportedly worked out last year, I don't think the Tigers got worked over in that. I think where the Tigers got worked in anyway was that they were told initially, or at least the reports were, that Alex Bregman was not open to taking a shorter-term contract. And then what does he end up doing? Rejects the Tigers' offer and takes a shorter-term contract. He took a three-year, $120 million deal with Boston and is going to pay him $40 million a year, but had the outs after each year. And that was kind of maybe, I don't know if Scott Harris felt blindsided or not, but I'll tell you, me as a fan and somebody who was following that case very closely, I felt a little blindsided by that because I was like, wait a minute, I thought that was off the table. You couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And here it was. The Tigers thought that they had the deal done, and then it gets pulled out from underneath them. That certainly gives me fuel to say, yeah, adios, I don't need to do this again. But really, it's the 114 games he played last year, or more importantly, the 50 that he didn't play
right
last year. So I'm looking elsewhere, and last I checked, Kyle Tucker's agent is not Scott Boras. Kyle Tucker's going to get a messload of money from somebody. You know what would be awesome is if the Cubs go out and get Alex Bregman, because that takes away money that they would spend on Kyle Tucker.
248-539-9797. Steve on a cell. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Steve.
Hey, boys. I'm wondering if it would be better to go like with a second so-called tier type guy rather than loading up on a marquee name like Bregman, kind of like how everybody was gung-ho on Suarez. Yeah, Suarez helped in down the road a bit, but come playoffs, didn't do too much. Bregman kind of trailed off, obviously, with the injury. And how does it actually work? I don't remember what Bregman signed with Boston. And
it was a $40 million a year. It was a
if we were to sign him here.
Bregman had a
Steve
Bellinger is going to opt out of his contract in New York. I wouldn't mind seeing a guy like that probably get him for a little bit less money.
Do you want to answer his question?
The Red Sox got him for, I think it was a three-year, $120 million deal. So it was $40 million a year, but he had the outs after each year. So that's what the deal was. Would he accept another one like that? No. Then he would just stay in Boston because it was up to it was his opt-out. He opted out of the deal. He's not opting out of that deal so he can sign another short-term deal for the same money.
Yeah.
He's opting out of that deal because now he wants to jump on the six-year deal from some team like the Tigers or the Cubs and get close to $30 million a year.
It's
and this,
so
is,
weird.
This will likely be, you know, that last Look, big
it's,
contract.
It's all business, but this feels like a total manipulation by Boras and Bregman. Give himself the Boston contract with the out so he can go back the next year when he's less valuable and take the same offer that Detroit gave. And by less valuable, I mean a six-year deal makes less sense this year than it did last year, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The whole thing feels like I can't help but feel like we'd be groveling back on our knees. Oh, please, please. And that doesn't sit well with me, but that doesn't mean it's not good business. Would Alex Bregman help the 2026 Detroit Tigers? I think he would.
Yeah, he'd be an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I can't count on a play 150 games.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
The other thing I put, you know, when I keep mentioning Kyle Tucker's name, and I know some people are going to say it's a pipe dream, he's going to get a ton of money from somebody, and he will get a ton of money from somebody, but why not the Tigers? He did learn under the tutelage and guidance of A.J. Hinch for many years while he was in Houston. So is this finally the offseason where the Tigers land that fabled piece of Houston Astros past that actually matters?
Should we be looking for a picture of AJ and Bregman sitting at a restaurant?
Yeah.
Somewhere in this offseason?
Sharing some quiche? I don't know.
Yeah. Feedback coming in. Cubs fan here. Writes Cubs fan.
Okay.
Gator's favorite. Cubs are not going to bring Bregman back. They have Shaw at third base and are going to be in the Tucker sweepstakes. Did you say Kyle Tucker's agent was not Scott Boras?
No.
That's good. I like Bregman, but would rather the Tigers put all of their financial resources towards Skubal. Second and third base will be one of the young guys from the minors, plus Colt Keith. I mean, I respect the idea of putting all your financial resources towards Skubal. I just don't see a possible future that Scott Boras allows his client to agree to terms before he hits free agency. I think Scott Boras would love a record-setting offer from the Tigers to say, we'll get back to you at the end of the year.
Right. Yeah.
Because he wants to take that offer to LA and Boston and New York and Chicago.
Yeah, I understand that feeling, and that would suck if that's really where he's at with that. And that's where I always push back on the athletes when they come out and say, it's not my decision to make. Yeah, it is. It's entirely your decision to make.
But you do hire an agent to remove your, like, I
absolutely.
Get the role that the agent
plays. I have an agent, so I don't have to deal with the negotiating process. So I totally understand why you have an agent, but you know what you do? You talk to your agent and you express what you want, and the agent's responsibility is to relay to you any offer that's out there. So, you know, they would have to, if the Tigers made an offer to Boras, Boras would have to present it to Tarek Skubal, and then it's up to Skubal to say, actually, that's a really strong offer. I'd love to stay here. I like what we got here. I like the young players, this team, A.J. Hinch, Fetter, I love it all. That's fair.
Well, that's why you try.
That's why you try.
You do try.
I agree with you. It's probably not likely because of who Boras is and what he does.
It might be the threat of Boras to make the Tigers go a little bit further. And that's like Skubal might have said to Boras, okay, I'm hiring you. I want to stay here, but I'm hiring you because I think you're going to get the best offer out of Detroit. You do your thing to get the best offer out of Detroit. We're not going to tell Detroit or anybody that. I'm just hiring you. And that could have been behind the scenes. And, you know, that would be cool. God, that'd be cool.
But here's
I don't think it's what happened.
What's going to stick in my mind, though, are the postseason comments that Skubal made about wanting to win a World Series and saying that no longer the goal can't be the divisional series. The goal needs to be the World Series. It needs the commitment to win. And with that being said, I feel like if you want to show a commitment to winning to Tarek Skubal, then you have to sign somebody else before you sign Tarek Skubal, which you can do. Go ahead and do.
Mm-hmm.
But it also might include having to sign a pitcher.
So Bregman, for people just joining us, reports everywhere that Alex Bregman is opting out of his Red Sox contract. Are we going to do this thing all over again? Would you do this thing all over again? Here's an unnamed texter. You tell me what you think of this. Forget Bregman for multiple reasons. Anyone putting big payday above team, culture, winning, and World Series, including Skubal, is not a good fit.
Look. I can understand not liking how the contracts negotiations worked last year and how you think they're going to go with Skubal. But this is business, man. I mean, you don't find many Connor McDavids out there who took considerably less money on an extension to stay in Edmonton.
That's interesting because you were always a guy that mentioned hometown discount.
Well, I mentioned it too, but discount is different than... That's like with things being equal. I don't think things are necessarily equal if you're being courted by New York and Chicago or, you know, teams that can go above and beyond $10 million a year over what your offer is going to be, which is what Boston did. They went $10 million above. Actually, it was more closer to $11 or $12 million above what the Tigers were able to offer. I think if you have a $400 million offer from one team and the Tigers offer you $380 million, that might be where you get the discount because the grand scheme of things, that $20 million, you know, it's $20 million. It's not that that much to deal with. But if you're talking a gap that's $50 million, $100 million, that's different.
Ben writes in, are we still talking about Bregman? He didn't want to be here. Let's talk about players who actually show interest in us. Tigers desperately need to sign another steady bat in the offseason. Well, Ben, how many other players did the Tigers already make an offer to and show an interest in that are free agents that we're aware of? Because that's why we're talking about it. The Tigers wanted him last year. And the question is, if they wanted him last year, do you think they'll want him this year? And we're talking about him because he made news today. If Kyle Tucker, there was a headline, Kyle Tucker has interest in the Detroit Tigers. Guess what we'd be talking about? Kyle Tucker. Tigers have already made one run at him, and now it's being reported he's going to be available Bregman, again. Yeah. If you're looking for, yes, Bregman. They already made one run at Bregman, and now there's news that he's going to be available again. That's why we're talking about it. Does he, but as you pointed out, he's not leaving Boston to sign a similar deal in Detroit.
Right, in terms of being a shorter-term deal. Yep, that's not going to happen. The reason he's opting out of this contract is because his agent is telling him he can get a six-year deal with another team that's going to pay him close to $30 million a year.
Sir Dom writes in, I didn't like Bregman last year and I don't want him now. Way overpriced. Find someone that's younger fine. And a better bat at any position. Must be upgrade from current starters. So this is fine. I guess I go to who's that player, because third base is one of the positions on the field that they probably have a more of a need. Like, you can think of every other position and there's probably more of a ready-made solution or a guy there that's serviceable to above average or whatever the case may be. Am I wrong? Except third base? You can upgrade for sure, but like, they're not going to go out and get most likely a corner outfield. Now they might.
They might get corner outfield.
They might get a corner outfielder. They might.
Because of the DH, you can put Carpenter at DH because now you're talking about
you're right.
Yeah, filling in for
Wenzel Perez. It just feels like third base has been a screaming need for a bit here.
It has felt that way. And I thought that Colt Keith could be that guy, and he still could be that guy. You know, you look at his numbers across a full season, they look pretty good. If he plays a full season, he's got to do that. I don't mind if they're going to take that chance, but I think you still need to make a splash and bring in a major league player to this roster in the offseason, whether it's going the free agent route like Kyle Tucker or, you know, Bichette or whatever the case is, or trading. Because you've got a lot of guys. The Tigers have so many players in the organization, I think, that other teams would love to have a chance at. And then you got to start looking at what's the fit. Okay, you're going to need to find a team that's not a playoff team, and they've got a contract of a player that they don't really like, or that they know that player is going to come up to a contract that they can't afford, and, you know, take advantage of the Tigers farm system.
But you also have to keep in mind, the reality of the situation is you have to go after players that are accessible. It's like the guy who called earlier and said, I'd take the rookie from the Twins who hit 300. You mean the one the Twins will have no interest, who's under club control for the next 5 years and have no interest in getting rid of? You'd take that guy. Well, sure, but there's not an accessibility. There's an accessibility issue with that, right?
Yeah. What we don't know is, you know, there are also players on this major league roster the Tigers could offer up in trade. You know, if they're tired of Riley Green or Kerry Carpenter or Spencer Torkelson, those three bats.
Yep.
You know, maybe one of those guys isn't around here next year because they're involved in a trade, and it frees up a valuable position either at first base or corner outfield.
All right, website came up with trade candidates in the National Football League and which teams make the most sense. The Lions' name appears several times. Interesting. We'll get to that today at 12:02 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.